Today I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm just going to give you, if you won't mind, I just want to tell you a story, a little bit, about how God has been working on my life. So if you could just sit back for just a moment and just listen, I'm going to tell you a little story, and then I'll give you some scripture to go along with it. The story kind of went like this. A few months ago, the Lord had told me, he said, Ryan, I want you to move to Minnesota. I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't like Minnesota. He said, Ryan, I want you to move to Minnesota. I said, Lord, I'm a Packer fan. That's the enemy territory. I can't move to Minnesota. He said, Ryan, I want you to move to Minnesota. I said, Lord, okay, I'll move to Minnesota. Then God said to me, he said, Ryan, I want you to sell your house. I thought, Lord, you know, my wife and I, we prayed for this house. And we remember when you gave us this house. We had this house built, and we had our children. They grew up in this house, and we had people over, our friends, our loved ones. We served the Lord. We gave the Lord, this house means a lot to us. We set it up the way that we like it. It took us years to get it to where it's at. It's beautiful. We have all that we need, and it's just a wonderful house. We love it, Lord. He said, Ryan, I want you to sell your house. I said, Lord, okay, I'll sell my house. And then the Lord said to me, Ryan, I want you to sell your stuff. I said, easy, Lord. I can sell Amanda's stuff. No problem. I'm a giving person. I'll give any of her stuff away. And so he said, no, I want you to sell your stuff. So I started selling my stuff. My wife's like, what are you doing? Why are you selling all this stuff? Don't get rid of it. We don't know what we need. And I just knew I needed to sell my stuff. So I started selling stuff online. My wife started selling stuff. My kids even started selling stuff. They'd get so excited someone would buy something, you know, sell the old water skis, you know, $5, and Levi's like, yeah, I got $5, you know, and we're selling all our stuff. I said, Lord, okay, I'll sell my stuff. Then he said, Ryan, I want you to sell your motorcycles, your four-wheelers, your boats. I want you to sell all that. I'm like, ugh, not those things, Lord. I had a 1965 Suzuki 250 classic bike. It's one of those bikes you leave in the back of your garage, and it's all nice and pretty back there, but you leave it back there so that when your boys get older, that one day you can all work on it together. It's one of those bikes. And that bike was given to me by a young man that I had helped in life, where he went through some difficult times, and through the process, he gave me that bike. And I was saving it so me and my kids could work on it one day. And he said, Ryan, why don't you sell your stuff? Why don't you sell your stuff? I said, okay, Lord, I'll sell my stuff. So I sold the bike and I sold all the different things. And then the Lord came to me a little later and he said, Ryan, I want you to give away some of your stuff. And I thought, Lord, okay, I'll give away some of my stuff. And I had a 1966 Chevy S10 from my grandfather. He had passed away and he said, I want you to have it. And he had painted the 1966 Chevy S10 the same to match his Harley Davidson. Black, gold, silver chrome. Beautiful. Beautiful. And they matched. And he would put the motorcycle on the back of the truck. All the guys were like, yes. All the women are like, we don't care. And so what he put on the back of the truck, and it just was beautiful. It was beautiful. And it was remembered. And he said, why don't you give that away? I said, Lord, that means a lot to me. It's from my grandfather who's passed away. It's what I have to remember him by. I said, Lord, I'll give it away. And so I gave that away and said, Ryan, I want you to give away some more of your stuff. And so he went through all my stuff, and I went through everything that was of value. He said, I want you to give your tractor away. Had a plow on it, snow plow on it. Now, tractors where I live are the thing, man. That's cool. And it had a brush hog on the back, which is so fun, by the way, brush hogging. And he said, I want you to give it away. I want you to give your dirt bikes away. I want you to give it all away. And I did. I gave it away. And I said, okay, Lord, I gave it away, and there it is. And then I heard a little voice again. It was God. He said, hey, Ryan. I said, hey, God. I don't have anything else to give. He said, God, Ryan, I want you to go and live in an RV in a church parking lot next to the dumpster. I said, what? With all your family. I thought, Lord, okay. God, okay. But God, I have a question I have to ask you. God, and I asked this question. I said, God, I don't understand. I just don't understand. And God said, I said, God, I don't understand. You have all the stuff, you know. And he's, and you know how God answers in this way. When I said, God, I don't understand, God said to me, he said, Brian, whose stuff is it? I said, God, it's your stuff. And I said, okay, God, now that you have your stuff back, I just don't understand. And he said, Ryan, who gave it to you? And I said, God, you answered a question with an answer. You gave it to me. I understand. You gave it to me. And when you want it back, you can have it. And I said, okay, God, then I understand that. You wanted your stuff back. You gave it to me. You can have it back. I said, God, but I have another question. I said, I still don't understand. You have all your stuff back now. So what's next? And God was saying to me, he said, Ryan, I want you to do your devotions this morning. And so I opened up where I do my devotions, and I want to read you a verse that the Lord was bringing me through a process. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, you don't turn there. We'll go to a verse in just a second. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And then I read this little piece. It said this: "There was no other way for salvation to be accomplished than through his sacrifice. It was essential to God's plan." And I said, God, I understand. I understand what you're teaching me. God, you're trying to teach me how to sacrifice, the right way to sacrifice. God, I understand that. I understand what you're trying to get at. I'm supposed to sacrifice for you. Then I read this other little piece right here, and I read it, and I sent it to my wife as quick as I read it. It says, "Those of us who have benefited from the sacrifice of Jesus, received his grace, have an obligation to live in the same manner. We must be willing to give up our rights, our comforts, our privileges, and our possessions when called to do so by God. If we be followers of Jesus, there is no service without sacrifice." You know, God was teaching me a lesson through this process. He was teaching me a lesson of sacrifice. And then within the sacrifice, he was teaching me this lesson saying, Ryan, just trust me. Just trust me. And, you know, many times much service is done today with no sacrifice involved. We serve, but there's no sacrifice. It's done for what I can get out of it, or for what how it makes me feel. In John chapter 12, if you want to go there, John chapter 12, verse 43, it says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." You know, many times we have a sacrifice, or we try to do something for God, and God wants you to serve, and he wants me to serve, but many times we do it for the praise of God, or I mean for the praise of men in our lives, and we look at it that way. We say, I just want to do it because it makes me feel good. Well, can I tell you, it did not make me feel good when I was giving up all those objects and all those things and all that house and all my that I owned and all that it took me all those years to get. It didn't make me happy, but God was trying to teach me something through the whole thing. He was trying to get me in a direction, to move me, to put me in a position where I could learn from him. I said, God, what are you trying to teach me? I understand sacrifice is important. And he says, Ryan, I don't want you to sacrifice for you. He says, I don't want you to sacrifice so you feel good and that it's not all about you. You know, there's a definition for humanism, and it's a real simple definition. It's this, is that in the end, everything done for humanism, in the end, everything done is for my happiness. And that's the way a humanist looks at things. Everything that they do is for their own pleasure and for their own happiness and for their own success, and that's humanism. And God was bringing me to a spot in my life where he's saying, Ryan, just trust me on this. I'm going to bring you somewhere. I'm going to bring you along a journey. And I said, okay, God, I'll go. And as I was reading my devotions and I was going through this, I saw this and I realized, and I sent this to my wife and I said, honey, I said, this is what it is. You said right there, we must be willing to give up our right and our comforts and our privileges and our possessions when called to do so by God. I realized, and God taught me at that point in time, he taught me this, God didn't move me to Minnesota for me. God moved me to Minnesota for him so that he could get the glory. If you would turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says this. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, they are and were created. God was teaching me, saying, Ryan, I did not bring you to Minnesota for you. I brought you to Minnesota for me, so that I could get the glory. You know, it changed the way that I looked at things. I thought, God, I would be more than willing to give up my home and my possessions that you gave me. God, you gave them to me. God, they're yours. Take them back. Use them however you want to use them. And I remember going through and giving the things out and selling the things and moving through life. And God was pricking my heart, saying, Ryan, this isn't all about you. This isn't all about you and what you get out of it. This is all about that God is worthy and he is worthy to be praised with your life. And Ryan, it's time that you praise God with your life. You have this, and it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. And I looked at my life and I thought, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry my hand was clenched on those earthly possessions. And all along you were trying to teach me just to give you glory in all what I have. You know, it's true what we read there. Many people, they just tend to do things so that they get the praise. But can I ask you, did you know you are in your marriage so that God gets glory? Did you know you're in your ministry so that God gets the glory? Did you know you teach your Sunday school class so that God gets the glory? Do you know God gave you children so that he gets the glory? And you say, why does he get the glory? He gets the glory because he is worthy of his glory. He's worthy of it. There's no reason you should be holding it back. There's no reason I should be holding it back. But your God that saved your soul is worthy of his glory. And you and I have the opportunity to show the glory of God in what we have and what we do. You know, the end of your life is not for your own pure happiness. The end of your life is for the glory of God. And many times we have to refocus our life. And God had to take me and move me and take my stuff and move me to a different area and say, Lord, what are we doing? What's going on? He said, God, Ryan, it's for my glory. Can you trust me on this? All the glory can go to God. Lord, I'll be more than willing to give up whatever I have for you. You have given up so much for me. Would you turn to John 12, 23 through 28? John chapter 12 and verse 23 through 28 reads this. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And then verse 28 says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God is trying to get a message across to his people that what you do and what I do is not for our own benefit, but it is at the end of your day for his glory, because he is worthy. His hour came. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. And he said, man, you know, this is my job. This is what I can do. This is my sacrifice. And his sacrifice cost something. And many times in your life, sacrifice, to be a sacrifice, it has to cost something in your life. Are you sacrificing for the Lord anywhere in your life? Is there any sacrifice that you have? Does it cost you anything? Is it your time you're sacrificing? Is it your money you're sacrificing? Is it your talent you're sacrificing for God? It needs to cost you something. I remember there's a story about David, and David needed to have a sacrifice, and he wanted to sacrifice, and somebody said, I'll give you a piece of land to sacrifice on, and I'll give it to you freely. And David said, no, I cannot take that land freely. I can't sacrifice on that land that I got for nothing. He says, I have to pay something for that land so that I can properly sacrifice. Sacrifice has a cost to it. It has a cost. And when we have a sacrifice, and we can take that sacrifice in our life, and we can hold it up to God and say, God, this sacrifice is for your glory, because you are totally worthy of it. And everything I have, you're worthy of it. My time, my talent, my children, my marriage, you're worthy of it, Lord. You're worthy of it. We skip over a lot of times our purpose in life. We have a purpose for the teenagers. The teenagers is, Pastor Clear and I have been talking, and I'm trying to get his heart, and his heart has led us to say we want to teach the teenagers how to serve. We want them to serve on purpose. And the purpose of their serving is so that God can get the glory. So he can have all the glory in their life. He can look at their life and see their glory. The glory is the beautifulness and the unbelievable power that God portrays, and that you can lift up and say, look, this is my God. All glory goes to him. You know, as I went through this crazy storm in my life of 16 years being in one place, and God says, get rid of it all, Ryan. Go for it. Get rid of it. I'm like, wow, Lord, that's pretty extreme. But Lord, in the end, you're worthy of everything I have. It's all yours. I would be honored to give that up for you. What's your sacrifice like today? And you say, why did you use yourself? I use myself, first of all, just because I know me. Second of all, it's embarrassing talking about yourself. The Lord said, hey, go ahead, embarrass yourself. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I understand what you want. At the end of my day, all the honor, all the praise, all the glory goes to you. All of it goes to you, God. How is your sacrifice doing? What does God want from you? I had this thing I used to do many years, my wife can attest to this, that whenever my hand was clenched and I had something that I wanted to keep, I wanted to learn this lesson, and I obviously God taught me this lesson through the years for this time here. But it was this thing, I would do the silliest things. If I heard someone say that they needed or wanted something and I owned it, I would go and get it, and I'd give it to that person. And I did it for the very discipline of seeing if my hand was totally clenched on earthly possessions. Because the truth is, when God said, Ryan, who gave you all that stuff? God, you did. So who does it belong to? It belongs to God. So if my hand is so tightly clenched that I can't give up a worldly possession for my brother or sister or for a lost soul, pity on me. And I remember there was a missionary, he came into the service, and he was to Swaziland or somewhere like that. And he came up to me, and man, the first thing he says, hey, Brother Ryan, that is one nice tie. I really like that tie. Oh, man, I just got that tie. I said, here you go, you can have it. Took it off, gave it to him. He's like, oh, thanks, man, thanks. And look like a weirdo, no tie on at church. My wife's like, I just bought you that tie. Why'd you give it away? I said, oh, it's fine, whatever, whatever. Next Sunday, a young man, he was in the jail ministry that we had. He got out of the jail, came to church, and he looked and he said, man, what a nice shirt you had on. I had a new shirt. I know, You know where it's going. I had a new teal shirt with a teal tie on. And man, my grandmother said, honey, you look so good in that shirt. And you always believe what your grandmother says. They never lie. And I was like, man, I know this new shirt, new tie. And this boy said, man, I really like that shirt and tie. Man, that thing looks really nice. Hey, do you want it? He's like, what? I would love it. I like the shirt and tie, and my wife's like, what are you doing? And it was at the end of church this time. And so I gave him the shirt and tie, and I thought, man, if my hand is so clenched that I can't give out what God has given to me, I can't give God the glory that he deserves. I remember, if you know me, I like hunting. I have a couple guns, a lot of guns. And I can go through my gun cabinet and I can look at my guns and I can name the person that gave me each gun. I think I purchased half of a gun. My brother and I, when we were young, we teamed up, pitched our money, and we bought a gun together. And then as time went on, my brother gave me the gun. He said, here, you can have it, Ryan. But I can point to my guns, and I can point to Dan Tuttle gave me this gun, Renison's gave me this gun, and I can point to my rifle collection, my guns, brother Roger Brostrom gave me this gun, and I point through them, and I know that God gave me these guns. He gave me these guns, and I realize where they came from. So the time came where I had a nephew of mine. He would say, man, he said, Uncle Ryan, I really like that gun. Now, if you know me, I don't like to sell my guns. And I sure don't like to give away my guns. But he said, Uncle Ryan, I really like that gun. Man, can I use it for hunting? I said, sure, man, use it for hunting. Hallelujah. He just wants to borrow it. That's awesome. So I handed him the gun, man. He used it. He bragged about that gun the whole time. I mean, he even kept it at his house after hunting season. I said, give my gun back. He gave my gun back, took it, put it in my area. And I went and I looked down on my gun cabinet one day, and that gun just stuck out at me. And the Lord was like, Ryan, give him that gun. I'm like, Lord, you know my rule. It stops with giving guns away. He said, Ryan, give the gun to your nephew. So I reached in the gun cabinet. And God broke my heart. I was like, man, so happy. I could give that away. I was so happy in my heart that I could give God all the glory, all the praise for everything I own, everything I have. And God, you can have all the praise. You can have it all. You gave it to me. Why can't I just give it out? Why can't I give it back to someone else? God, thank you. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. You know, it's not all about us. It's about him getting glory. But when you give him the glory, he's all about you. He's all about you. And he's in your life, and he says, wow, if I can trust you with that, I got something else I can trust you with. And he keeps blessing you, and keeps blessing you, and keeps blessing you. You know, we were able to move out of the RV. All six of us jammed in there. God used someone and it just sparked, and our family was just, hallelujah, we'll get out of the RV. And we were thankful for the RV that we could live in. Better than living in a tent out in the soccer field. And we were just happy we could do that. But Lord has been blessing and blessing and blessing since we've been here. There has been a lot to do with that house, and some of you in here have come up to us and you have been a blessing to us. You have allowed God, what God has given you, many of you have handed it to us and gave it to us. You have showed me personally, to God be the glory. What I have, I'm going to use for God, and he's going to get all the glory. Do you know God puts you in the house that you're in for his glory? God puts you in the job that you're in for his glory. God puts you in the family that you're in for his glory. And lastly, God puts you in this church that you're in for his glory. At the end of the day, you balance it out. Is it for God's glory? Or is it for our own selfishness and our own selfish desires? What was it for? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I know this is a Wednesday Bible study. And to be honest with you, that was a very embarrassing sermon to give. I did not want to share that with you. But the Lord wouldn't let it go. He says, Ryan, if you can get up and tell him one thing, would you just tell him this? Would you just tell him, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive honor, and to receive power. Your God is worthy. Now, if you're a Christian in here today, I just want to mention this to you. If you're a Christian in here today, your job at the end of the day is that God gets the glory because He is worthy of it. He's worthy of it. If you're not a Christian in here today, I'm sorry to say that your life gives God no glory whatsoever. No glory whatsoever. If you are not a child of God and if you're unsaved today, your life doesn't glorify God in any way. But if you'd be interested in finding out how your life could glorify God, would you come talk to me or the other person you feel comfortable in church talking to? We'd surely show you out of God's Word how you can accept Him and your life could then glorify Him. But would there be someone here today that would lift your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, that is my desire. My desire is to give You all the glory. Would you raise your hand with mine and say, Lord, that's my desire. That's my desire. You can put your hand down. That's my desire.